today. As our first meeting back in the building in our area, and it's amazing that it is Pentecost Sunday, which means five in Greek. It means it was 50 days after the death and resurrection. Jesus instructed his followers to hang in there in Jerusalem and wait. So Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the words that we're going to hear. Father God, I thank you for the hearts that are open to hear the words that are going to be spoken. Father, I thank you that this church is a church that's hungry for more. And Father God, visit us powerfully by your Holy Spirit as we hear the word of God, in Jesus' name, Lord. And we hear what God is up to. Is this going outside?
Yeah, you're okay.
Okay, good. Going to all the Zoom people? All the Zoom, Jerry, all the Zoom? We're all in there? Good?
I can hear you.
All right, good.
I got disconnected. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay. All right, we're going to have to start the journey. We're going to start this journey to Pentecost, and we're going to start it in John, because everything starts for all of us as Christians in this place. In John 20, 19 to 20, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be to you. Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands, his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is a marked time. It is amazing, Lord, that fear is mentioned once. Jesus walked into a room full of fear. When he walked in a room full of fear, he said twice, because if they didn't get it the first time, they're going to hear it the second time, "Peace be with you." And then again, he said, "Peace be with you." The peace of God that passes all understanding demolishes fear. When fear was present, our Lord walked in the room saying, "Peace be with you." And he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. That was the completion of what he meant by being born again. Up to that time, was born of flesh is flesh, was born of the Spirit is Spirit. Up till that time, they heard the words of Jesus, they walked with Jesus, they saw the miracles of Jesus, they saw him crucified, they saw him buried, now they see him alive. And the whole thing that God planned when Jesus came on the planet Earth was fulfilled. And to be born of the flesh is flesh, to be born of the Spirit is Spirit. This was the born-again experience. He breathed on them, and the Holy Spirit took residence. Then we move on to Acts, and some of the scriptures about what followed this time, because after him breathing on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, the born again, the resurrected body can eat, can't it? It works, right? He gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the Father's promise, which he has heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit." You know, it's this whole idea of waiting. You know, as Christians, sometimes we get too anxious. And we had to wait a long time for this time we'd be in the church together, out on the yard, and some of us zooming in. But he's saying, wait. There's going to be a moment in time when you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I believe we're in a moment of time right now for the gathering place to have a visitation of the Holy Spirit actively working in all of our lives. After he said this, he was taken up before the very eyes, and the cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up in the sky as he was going, and when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," he said, "why are you standing here looking in the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him going to heaven." One of the promises of we as believers, you know, whether we go before he comes or when he comes, but the fact of the matter is, Jesus declared there, and the men in white declared to those disciples when they saw him going up into the cloud, he said, "He'll be back. He's coming back. Our God is coming back. Our Jesus is coming back. And it will be a whole new earth and a whole new Jerusalem." Then, when the day of Pentecost came, wow, when it came, they were all together in one place. You know, and I mentioned earlier on, you know, we're like here in this room, we're out on the yard, we're at our homes, we're of God that has no time or space. So we, in one spirit, actually are together. We're here in one place. They were together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a billowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, it wasn't an actual wind they were feeling. They heard the sound of a violent rushing wind. Some people say when a tornado is approaching, it comes like a freight train, a great noise. And that's sort of what's described here, is a blowing, violent wind. Whoosh! A rushing sound. Now, I imagine, you know, there's no really timeline when that happened before the fire of tongues came. I can imagine those disciples and the people with them when they're hearing this great violent noise that sounded like a rushing wind, that they might have went back and said, "I think something amazing is going to happen." I think possibly they could have remembered the words of Jesus when he said, "When a rushing violent wind came and your house was built on the sand, you would be shaken. And when a rushing violent wind came down on those who had faith in Jesus Christ, your house will not be broken." I can imagine them thinking about just the different words that they heard Jesus say. And now they're saying, this is an awesome event that's about to take place. We're hearing this wind. We're hearing this violent noise. What's next? What's next? Then they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. I can imagine when they, all of a sudden, they were remembering what Jesus was saying about a rushing wind and a sound of rushing wind. I can imagine what they were hearing when they heard possibly the words of John the Baptist, and also Jesus said the same thing, that I'm gonna, you know, the promise is coming. Is water versus Holy Spirit and fire. I can imagine saying, "Wow, is this a demonstration that I'm going to baptize you? You have been baptized in water, or naturally came into this life. Now, supernaturally, you're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit in fire." I can imagine them thinking, and in fact, this is what happened later when Peter wrote in 1 Peter, he said, proven faith, greater worth than gold, refined by fire. Proven faith of greater value than gold, refined by fire. When you want to make gold into its pure state, you fire it up until all the impurities come out. And that's what God is doing in a supernatural work in our lives, that we become pure gold. And people see gold. You know, you see on TV, buy gold, be safe. You know, gold has no value comparing to knowing that you're loved by God and know that you have a destination in your life. So what was going on is something there in that upper room was hearing and seeing. Hearing and seeing. And the more we listen to what God is saying, the more we'll see His manifest work in our lives. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Then he said to them, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You know, the power of a prayer language, a power of God demonstrated in speaking in tongues. One thing that was very evident there, as they were speaking, people heard them in their own language. Supernatural, being filled, equipped, and empowered to do ministry and to build the kingdom. Outside the room, they didn't see the fire, but they heard the noise. They heard the noise of a spiritual rock concert, because a rock of all ages was demonstrating his power. All right? And he says, and when they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one were hearing it in their own language being spoken. And they were utterly amazed. They asked themselves, aren't all these men speaking Galileans? In other words, saying, you remember when Jesus said, what anything good can come out of Galilee? You know, here are these simple people. They were trying to reason this. You know, all of God's kingdom doesn't come by reasoning and overthinking. It says, but they were utterly amazed, and they were saying, aren't these Galileans? And now, how is it that we can hear in our own language? A supernatural event was taking place right there and then. And as we are going to learn as we go on in this message, it hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. But we at TGB want more, don't we? And they were amazed. And it says they were amazed and perplexed. And they asked one another, what does this mean? You know, as a church going forward, I mean, we need to ask this question. What does it mean? What does it mean that God's presence is here? What does it mean to me that I've been made righteous? What does it mean that God gives us authority over all the power of the enemy? What does it mean? That'd be a good question for all of us to ask sometime in our walk with Jesus. What does this mean? What does this mean that I am a child of God? I am born again, loved by the Almighty. And it says something here that saddens my heart. Some, however, said, they're just drunk with wine. They were scoffers, mockers, and unbelievers. That's going to happen too. We're going to meet opposition from scoffers, mockers, and unbelievers. And we're going to learn how we respond to that also. It didn't stop there. There was a wonder. Some of them were saying, what does this mean? In verse 14, then the Apostle Peter stood up. The Apostle Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen carefully what I say. So they're questioned, what does it mean? And Peter walks up and he says, I'll tell you what it means. I'll tell you what this means. And think about it. Just a few days earlier in the Gospel of John, he was sitting in a room full of fear. He was a man that denied Jesus three times. He was a man that had a good talk, but not a walk. And he struggled in his walk. But remember that Jesus way back then was even telling me, I foreknew, I know you're going to fail. I know you're going to have difficulty. But I want to let you know, I've asked God to protect you. I have God to be surround you with his presence. And he was the man that was defeated, rose up in victory because they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. Something changed in Peter in the upper room. Something changed in all those people in the upper room. Something changed in my life, in your life, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit in power. He spoke with power and boldness. You know, Peter probably could say had the boldness before, but now he had the power to speak in boldness before them. And as he was speaking, like Catherine just shared, I'm going to share it again, he pulled some scriptures out of the prophet Joel. And it says, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great day and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. It's amazing. God's invitation is to all people. His heart is that all people would be saved. Now, let's take a pause from Pentecost. Let's take a pause from Pentecost and where we left off here. God has a challenge to us to win people to Jesus Christ. So, what is the vision of our church? What is the vision of our church? What is our heart for all of us to come to the gathering place? What's our heart for all of us? All of us. It starts out with love on people. You know, become masters of love on people. Jesus referred to it one time. He said, you know what? As I have loved you, love others. You know, and maybe I could do a whole sermon on that, but we're going to leave it at that. Let that fill your heart. A vision for us is the gathering place. Let us be a people that will love on people. Yeah. Love on people. Then, foundationally, we're a church of prayer and worship. Sunday from 8:30 to 9:30, we already experienced it. Tuesday nights. Wednesday nights, we operate in the prophetic and we share with one another. Foundationally, we're a church encouraged to go to God's throne of grace in prayer and worship. Prayer and worship are the foundation of what God's house was built upon and the engine that drives and activates and manifests of God's power in our midst. This is not only corporately, but it's also personal. That's the way that we are men and women of God that continually consult Him in every step we do in life. We believe that we have all the gifts operating here. Not to be proud, but to be humble at TGV. Prophetic, healing, teaching, helps, pastoral hearts, evangelism. There's one right there, an evangelist, June. She's in the room here. Words of wisdom, discernment, and knowledge, and many others. We're a church welcoming the gifts of the Spirit to be operational in all of our lives and to be used by God. And when are gifts used? When they're needed. You know, it's just not an automatic thing. It's if somebody walks in and needs healing, boom, the gifts of healing is there for us to be in operation. When somebody needs a word from God, boom, prophetic comes, and that word comes. And it doesn't, what's amazing, it doesn't have to come from the pastors. It comes from all of us. God working in all of our lives, the gifts of the Spirit operating in all of our lives. And guess what? Sometimes you say, well, you know, sometimes we think we have one more than the other working in us, but I'll be assured, if you don't think you have the gift of healing, and all of a sudden you're in a situation and somebody needs healing, that gift will operate in you. Be assured. God's gifts are given also when the need is there. When the need is there. We also are a church that wants to equip people at TGP. Jerry and Twyla, prayer ministry. On Sunday mornings, Jerry and Twyla brought to this church a heart to seek God in prayer, a heart to say, to agree with Jesus, my house is a house of prayer. They were long suffering and pursued that. Sometimes it was just you and me on a Sunday morning. But we said, you know, where is it happening? What's it happening? Jerry and Twyla stayed at it. We're persistent. And now then two or three or four or five, and now sometimes over 10 people will show up between 8:30 and 9:30. They have brought into this gathering place that we become a church of prayer, a church of seeking God's throne. Jonathan, God raised him up to train us that we can hear from God, that we can hear a prophetic voice. We can be a blessing to our brothers and sisters by hearing from God and sharing with our brothers and sisters. What is God telling you? What is God encouraging you? How is God lifting you up? How is God providing you? Jonathan has toiled in that. And someday he's going to raise up from his bed and be with us in one of our prophetic gatherings. You know, we're still pursuing that. That's not going to change, and we're going to do it. Jonathan's heart was there. God brought us a Jonathan into the gathering place that would pursue prophetic and the gift of prophecy operating on us. Then we have Cal, I-61, helping people to get free, like it says in Isaiah 61, and inner healing. And Cal has been faithful in that all these years, and people that need to be set free from things in their life and just take them on that journey of freedom. Peter K., he had a heart. We had prayer meetings crop up. We had prayer meetings and all this kind of thing. And Peter said, I want to lead a Bible study. So Peter rose up from amongst us and said, I want to welcome people into my home so that they can understand the depth of God's word and truth. Aren't we blessed at the gathering place? We're blessed with these men and women that have taken these different ministries and ran with them fearlessly and with lots of energy and no holding back. We also are a church, our vision is breaking bread together and sharing one another's burdens, just not just the pastors, but everyone does this. That's why we open up the open mic. You know, we said we're going to be a church that is going to open up the voice of the people. So many churches, the people have to sit there silent. We have Catherine this morning in here, and she shared how God is working in her life. And so that's just an example of what we can experience every Sunday. Some people come to me and say that sharing time is really important to them because they get to tune in to what's going on in people's lives, and they get encouraged. Sometimes they can be silent. They say, I've been silent. I'm going through this stuff myself just to hear another believer share. Wow, we're a church that opens up our time together to all of us, not just a pastor preaching, teaching, and leading. Early on in this ministry, the Holy Spirit put a verse in our hearts. It comes from Corinthians 14:26. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together, each of you has a hymn, or a word, or an instruction, or a revelation, or a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church will be built up. I believe we have in this church the formula for a church that will be a church to build the saints up. Build the saints up, because we've given a place for all the saints that come in here to hear the word of God, to be built up. That verse was given to us, and that verse from the word of God has been implemented in my heart, even going forward from this moment on to a greater level, right? A greater level. Giving an opportunity every Sunday for the body of believers to speak out what he has done in their lives. We're not a fellowship that we come together and people have not heard the testimony of the saints. It's a sad thing when there's such richness out there in the people of this church that so hugely have blessed my life, that if we didn't give them an opportunity to speak, we would never receive the encouragement. Sign, getting good night's sleep. That's great. I need a machine for that. So the purpose is to build up the church, is to equip the church, to edify the body, and to send people out into the lost world. This church has a vision for missions. And a lot of these people I'm going to mention actually came here, grew here, strengthened here, and went out. Most of them did. Some of them didn't, but most of them were from this church, got encouraged. We have Hillary in Southeast Asia, out of Australia. She's there. We have Corey and Sarah headed for France got skipped now, a little trouble, but their goal is to get in the Haiti. And we have Jeremy and Katie. They're kind of holding here, waiting for things to open up to go back to China. Charles and Laura Grace, they're in the Middle East area. They're James and Rachel Connor. They're in, I keep forgetting the name of that.
Morocco.
And sharing the love of God and the grace of God. James and Tabitha, who now are starting a church in Kansas City, and also working in Haiti. But remember this, our body, that's you and me, to minister to those who encounter the Lord gives us a divine appointment. We're all sent. When we leave this building, we're sent. We're sent into the malls and the gas stations and soon be restaurants and business places and finds over there at Amazon and there'll be times when we'll know that we know that we'll encounter Jesus in the heart and say, share with this man, share with this woman. And that's the time to be bold and share all that God is doing in our life. Every week at TGP, we give people an opportunity to respond to the gospel by committing their lives to Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to Acts. Now you heard what we're about. I'm happy what we're about. We're up to doing stuff here. God is working here. Amazing. Now let's go back to Acts. Peter presents the gospel. He presents the gospel that requires a decision. When the apostles heard this, when the people heard this, what Peter was sharing, the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" That's the first step to knowing Jesus. When you discover there's an emptiness in your life and you've tried everything to fill it, you've tried everything, you know, rock music, whatever, wherever it takes you, social gatherings, maybe freaking out on social media, whatever, you're searching things for connection with people. It starts out with, what should I do? What should I do with the information that God sent Jesus Christ to the planet Earth to die and be a sacrifice, to be put in the grave, to rise from the dead, and say, I'm offering salvation to all that believe that I took their sin on me and gave them my righteousness, and said he's coming back. The first step is, what shall I do? Then Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the first step in answering the question, what shall I do? He says, repent. Change your mind about who God is. He's not an angry God. He's not mad at you. He gave his son to give you life. And, like it says here, to forgive you your sins. Recognize that you are a sinner. You've been separated from God. And God is welcoming you to come into his relationship with men, with him. And it requires a repent actually means change your mind about who God is. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He gave his life that as a ransom, that he came into this world to forgive sinners like you and I. Then he says in verse 41, those who accepted this message were baptized, and there was about 3,000 people saved at the first church meeting in the New Testament. 3,000 came to know Jesus. So what is it? Recognize you have a need. What shall I do? Change your mind about who God is and receive the forgiveness of your sins. That's accept. And on that day, 3,000 people accepted that message. Then goes on in verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. You know, and that's our heart as a church, is increase. We have missionaries all over this planet sharing the good news. We are missionaries sharing the good news with people that we meet. And the heart of God is behind us. I'm not willing that any should perish, but all should come to eternal life in Jesus. So, that's the heart that's crying out. We've heard a little bit about it this morning. We hear it on these online prayer times and communion times all over the world, simultaneously. What are we hearing? What are we hearing? We're hearing that revival is coming. Revival is coming. We desire revival to come. We desire revival at the gathering place. So what's the cost of revival? What's the cost? Jesus said there's a cost. There's a cost of coming to Him. There's a cost of being a servant of His. There's a cost of being part of what He wants to do on the planet Earth. What is that cost? You know what? It's not mentioned in Acts, but we're going to have to go back to Joel. We're going to have to go back there and see what is the cost for revival. We all want it. We want to see it. We want it to happen. What's the cost? In Joel 2, it says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and He relents from sending calamity." That's our God. That's our God. That's the cost of revival. That's the cost of revival. And somebody, we're just got interrupted by Twyla and Jonathan. I'll hold off here a minute. Jerry, you want to straighten that out?
Yeah, we lost our internet for a while, and I just got it back, so that's why we're
losing. Where did we lose it? When I started saying what?
Just go ahead.
Okay, revival. We want it. We want revival, don't we? We want revival. And I'll tell you what revival looks like. It's not about outward appearance. It's about the inner heart. It's not about what we look like and what we other people see. It's about what's going on in the inner heart. It's about rending your hearts. It literally means to tear away, to humble. Ask the Lord to tear away whatever is standing in the way between your heart and God's heart.
What was that scripture again?
That's in Joel 2:12-13. Rend your hearts. Old patterns will be destroyed and new patterns will be established through the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. God is calling us as a church and a people. He's calling us to remove all things that we know are interfering with our relationship with Him and others by transforming our hearts through His power and grace. We want revival. It starts with us, and it starts right here. It starts right here that we start handing over to Jesus every piece of our heart, every piece of our heart. And I want us to take a moment now. I want us to take a moment of silence and ask the Lord yourself. He said, ask Him to show you What are those pieces you've held back? What are those pieces you've not given him? He's compassionate. He's slow to anger. He abounds in love. He wants to hear from you. He's some gentle person. He wants you to take a moment of time now and say, Lord, I just want all of me given to all of you. And pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit and that your heart would be transformed. So I want to give you some little bit of time, and I hope we haven't had any interruption in what you've heard, but I want you to come before his throne of grace and mercy and truth and start giving him all of your heart. We want revival. It's going to start with us individually turning over everything to him. Maybe you've been angry with him. Get over it. He's your best friend you could ever have. So take this moment of silence and say, Lord, I want to turn everything over to you. Holy Spirit, do surgery in our lives. Father God, that our hearts would be rent and open up to all that you have for us. Father God, restore broken relationships. Father God, heal the hurts in broken relationships. Father God, set us free from any addictions that are keeping us with complete connection with you. Father God, Holy Spirit, if there's fear in our life, Father God, remind us early on that you walked in the room with 11 disciples, actually it's 12, 11 disciples that were full of fear, and you said peace. Father God, if there's things that are distracting us, Father, distracting us, take away, help us to work through that distraction. Could be the news media, could be social media. Father God, we just want connection with you. We want revival. We want to start in our own lives, Father God. Father God, maybe we feel that we're not being used by you. Lord, break that barrier and say, yes, Lord, use me. Maybe we've been waiting a long time. Earlier on in this message, we said that they had to wait, actually 50 days, when the Holy Spirit came in power. Maybe you're weary of waiting. Let God know that you'll still be there. You'll still be waiting on the Lord. Because you wait on the Lord, he will renew your strength. Right now, guys, the Lord is doing something in all of our lives as we're turning over things to him. And we have to know that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek after him. So, Father God, I just ask you, Lord, to change and the hearts of RTGP Church. for then you'll open the doors of revival. You'll open the doors of revival. Come, Lord Jesus, work in our lives, Lord. Humble ourselves before your throne of grace and mercy and truth. Father, help us, even as we leave this meeting, to continue to open our full heart with confidence to the God that loves us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us right with you. And Father God, if we feel unworthy, Father, we declare right now that he has made you worthy. You haven't, he has. And you are valuable to him. If you devalued yourself and you think too low of yourself, let him show you how important you are to him and his great love for you. This is an amazing time for us to go and leave this place only to become revivalists for his kingdom. I beg you, by the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, don't neglect giving your whole life to him to be used for his kingdom and the expansion of his kingdom in these troubled days. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. We love you. God bless you. And I can't wait to go outside and meet some of the people that are outside. So thank you for being in here. God bless you. And have a wonderful day in Jesus' name. Okay?